Week 5, Day 4. The Madness of Satans. True Christian Religion 80. Once a Satan was given leave to come up from hell together with a woman, and he approached the house where I was. Seeing them, I shut the window, but talked with them through it. I asked the Satan where he came from, and he said, from the company of his own people. And I asked him where the woman came from, and he made the same answer. She was from a crowd of sirens, who are skilled in putting on every appearance of beauty and every adornment of dress. At the same time, they assumed the beauty of Venus. At another, the charm of face of Parnassian nymphs. At another, they deck themselves out like queens with crowns and royal robes and walk majestically leaning on silver staves. Such, in the world of spirits, are harlots. They specialize in fantasies. Fantasy arises from sensual thought, when the ideas springing from any interior thought have been excluded. I asked the Satan if she was his wife. He replied, "What is a wife? I do not know, and my society does not. She is my harlot." Then she inspired lewdness in the man, which sirens know how to do skillfully, and on receiving it, he kissed her and said, "Ah, my Adonis." To more serious matters, I asked the Satan what his calling was. He said, "My calling is learning. Don't you see the laurel wreath on my head?" His Adonis had conjured this up by her magic arts and put on his head from behind. "Since you come from a community where there are schools of learning," I said, "tell me what you and your companions believe about God." He replied, "God for us is the universe, which we also call nature. Simple folk in our country call it atmosphere, by which they mean the air, but the intelligent mean the atmosphere, which was also the ether. God, heaven, angels, and the like, the subject of which many tales are in this world, are idle words, fictions inspired by meteors, which many people have seen flash before their eyes. Is not everything to be seen on earth the creation of the sun? Every time the sun draws nearer in the springtime, are not insects born, and with and without wings? Does not its heat make birds love each other, and others reproduce? And does not the earth, warmed by its heat, cause seed to sprout and produce fruits as its offspring? Does this not mean that the universe is God and nature a goddess? And she, as the wife of the universe, conceives, bears, rears, and nurtures these things." I asked further what he and his society believed about religion. He said, "To us, who are more learned than the masses, religion is nothing but a bewitchment of the common people. Like an aura, it encompasses the sensitive and imaginative powers of the minds, and in that aura, notions of piety fly about like butterflies in the air. Their faith, which connects these ideas, as it were, in a chain, is like a silkworm in its cocoon, from which he comes forth as a king of the butterflies. For the unlearned masses, from a desire to fly, love to imagine things above their bodily senses and their thought from them, in this way making wings for themselves, with which they may soar like eagles and cry boastfully to those who are on the ground, 'Look at me!' But we believe what we see, and we love what we touch." And he touched his harlot and said, "This is something I believe in, because I see it and touch it. We throw that other nonsense out of our windows and blow it away with the breath of laughter." Then I asked him what he and his companion believed about heaven and hell, which he replied with a loud laugh, "Ha! What is heaven but an eternal firmament above? What are the angels but spots wandering around the suns? What are archangels but comets with long tails on which a crowd of them dwell? What is hell but bogs where, in their imagination, frogs and crocodiles and devils are? Everything beyond these ideas of heaven and hell is mere nonsense, brought forth by some prelate for the purpose of winning glory from the ignorant multitude." All this he said precisely as he had thought upon these subjects in the world, not knowing that he was living after death, and having forgotten all that he had heard when he had first entered the spiritual world. So again, he replied to a question about life after death, that it was a thing of the imagination, and perhaps some effluvium arising from a buried corpse in the shape of a man, or something called a ghost, about which some tell stories, had introduced such a notion among men's fancies. When I had heard this, I could no longer keep from bursting out laughing, and I said, "Satan, you're raving mad! What are you? Are you not in the form of a man? Do you not talk, see, hear, and walk? Recall to mind that you lived in another world which you've forgotten. You're now living after death, and that you've been speaking just as you formerly did." And recollection was given to him, and he remembered now and was embarrassed. And he cried out, "I am mad! I saw heaven above! I heard the angels! They are uttering things ineffable! But that was when I first came here. I will now keep this in mind to tell to my companions whom I came, and maybe they will be embarrassed like me." But he held it on the tip of his tongue that he would call them insane. As he went down, forgetfulness drove out remembrance, and when he was there, he was as mad as they were, and he called the things that he had heard from me madness. Such is the state of thinking and conversation among Satans after death. Those are called Satans who confirmed falsities with themselves until they believe them. And those are called devils who have confirmed in themselves evils by their life. Questions. 1. In what sense is this Satan insane? How does his insanity compare with mental illness in this world? 2. Are there many who are similarly insane? Do you suspect that you are insane in some areas or have sometimes acted insanely? 3. What is the cure for spiritual madness? 4. What use does laughter serve in this story?